Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
With that in mind, we're going to begin our teaching. I'm going to be introducing what this concept is about revival. Say, this is revival. In order for us to understand revival, we're going to start from let's pray this prayer. Most of us should know this. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, Luke 12, Dr. Hazard, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, the Our Father Prayer, all right? We're going to pray that together as we begin our series. Is that all right? Hold hands with somebody next to you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for meeting our needs, for lifting our burdens, for strengthening in our hearts, and then breathing over us brand new inspiration for this new season. We thank you for new opportunities. We thank you for new doors that are opening up to us, Father. And as we seek your kingdom first, everything else will be added to us. And so, Lord God, we choose not to seek wine first, but we seek your spirit first, to be filled with the spirit, speaking to one another in songs and spiritual songs, that we may be able to prove the will of God in our lives. And so, Father, as we thank you for the spirit of revival, this is our season of revival. We're speaking it, we're declaring it, and we're believing for it, that revival is going to hit our homes, revival is going to hit our city, revival is going to hit our families. Those who are dying will start living. Those who have lost hope will find hope again. Those who lost joy will find joy again. Because when revival comes, dead things come back to life. So we thank you right now for new life, new strength, new vision, new hope, new dreams filling our house, God. We won't stop short of change. We won't stop short of revival. We're believing you for it now. In Jesus' name. Now let's say the Our Father prayer together. Amen. For those who don't know it, let's put it on the screen, Ryan, just to be safe, just to be sure. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, around there. Hallelujah. Well, I guess let's say it together. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's say that first part again. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Next part. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 You can have your seats. You can have your seats. Now, for those of you, once again, don't know how Hungry for God, how we do things, that we are a teaching house and we teach in series, okay? We start somewhere, we end somewhere. And every Sunday, after Sunday, kind of like a TV show, you look for another episode. All right, that's kind of like how we do things here. One season or one series, we're in a season where God is speaking over us a certain revelation, and we dive deeper and deeper into the truth. And, you know, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, okay? You will know truth, and truth will make you free. So if there's areas in your life where you're not free, it's because you don't know truth, all right? And the more truth you know, the more free you become. So I make it my business to scavenge, to be a scavenger of the word, and to seek and to search and to dig in for the word of God to become real to me. When I hear that word truth, I think about it being real. And whenever something is not real, I know it's not truth to me. It may be truth, but it's not real to me. There are many scriptures in the word of God that you know, that you may have even memorized, but it has no influence, it has no impact in your life because it's not real, it's not working in you. And so I want you to make this word work. I want you to seek that the word will come alive in you. And one of those things, one of those scriptures that we say and we even pray is what we just read. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. It's known as the prayer for the early church. They called it that. They literally called it the prayer because it's the only prayer we actually see Jesus teach his disciples to actually use. And so for good reasons, it's one of the most popular subjects in the Bible. It's one of the most most memorized things in Scripture. But you know, religion has a way of taking things that are meant to be rich and vibrant and filled with joy and filled with life and making it very boring and mechanical and mundane and lifeless for people. And the Lord's Prayer is, again, it's a reason why it's the most important thing that many people know. As a matter of fact, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, many of us just treat it as that. We just pray. We just say it and we pray. And we expect something to happen because as we say it, we believe in God will do something for it. You know, we pray because we expect something to happen, right? Miracles are going to happen. Divine intervention will happen. Healing will happen. Provision will come. We pray these things. However, we got to understand the heart behind what this prayer means, because actually, in essence, what revival looks like is this prayer coming to life. All revival is what we just read. God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. That's revival. Revival is the realities of heaven invading the realities of earth and changing things. See, look at what it said, on earth as it is in heaven. So it is what is already established in heaven. What is in heaven, what is supposed to be manifesting here on earth, which means earth is changing, but heaven doesn't change. Heaven is established, heaven is settled, but this earth is supposed to be changing. God is changing the earth. God is transforming the earth. Amen? Things are changing. That's why the only constant in life is change. Because from day to day, from week to week, from hour to hour, things are changing all the time. But where it's changing to is that it's changing into heaven. You see, even though things might seem to be getting worse, it's still going right back to the beginning. All things are being restored back to the way it was in the beginning, before the fall. Everything is lining back up to heaven on earth. And so the church is here to be the ambassadors or the facilitators, those who are going to help escort this move of God, the advance of the kingdom. So when Jesus preached, we hear him talk a lot about repent because the kingdom is at hand. Heaven is available. He's preaching this stuff because that's where the world is going back to, the kingdom of God, the way that it was before Adam and Eve sinned. Amen? So when Jesus died for our sins, he set the world back on a restoration project or a rehabilitation project, so to speak. Things are slowly but surely coming back to heaven on earth. And the generation that partners with God the most to see that it will happen will see the final consummation of all things to restore it right back to where God himself will come down and bring this world back to its original standard. Amen? Isn't that exciting? See, the new age is the kingdom of God. The new age that the people are thinking about is heaven coming to earth. And the people that only have the legal right to make this thing happen is those who believe in Jesus and those who follow the Holy Spirit. We're the ones that have the tools, the resources, the knowledge of salvation in order to make this thing come to life. All right? And so it's not going to happen on a whole global scale. Immediately, it's happening little by little. And that's one of the things we see about heaven. But notice that Jesus actually told us to pray it, right? He told us to pray for heaven to come. Now, we will see, all right, give us this day our daily bread, and we think about that as a daily prayer. But before that, he said, pray for his will to be done, his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. It's supposed to be as daily as we expect our provision to come. As a matter of fact, what if our daily bread didn't even have anything to do with bread naturally? Because didn't he tell us, don't ask what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, because your Father already knows you have need of these things. So what if his daily bread doesn't even have anything to do with food per se? What if the daily bread has to do with the provision of the kingdom of God? Heaven coming to earth, our daily bread of miracles, come on, our daily bread of the supernatural. See, we think the kingdom is going to come one day in the future, but he wants it to come every day. Every single day of our lives, we should be bringing more and more of heaven to earth. Come on. See, that's revival, right? Revival is not an event. It's a lifestyle for believers. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives on the inside of us. So the original revival, when Jesus came back to life, that same spirit, that same power takes residence in believers so that we can carry that revival wherever we go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we got to believe that the Spirit of God wants to, who now lives in you, wants out of you. And when he wants out of you, he wants to see the same results that Jesus saw. That's why the disciples asked Jesus, say, teach us how to pray. Because they saw there is something about when Jesus prays and the supernatural happens. You're praying here, and then when you come out of prayer, people are getting healed. Demons are driving out of people. Mentally deranged people are being set free with one word. And they realize there was something connected to his prayer life and what he's praying and what they're praying and not seeing the same results. Well, what are you praying, Jesus, so that we can see heaven on earth like you're doing it? So with this Lord's Prayer, it wasn't just Jesus saying, hey, this is what to pray, and you're going to see it. No, every great teacher knows not to give you an answer when you ask a question. If you ask your teacher 2 + 2 and they tell you it's 4, that's not a good teacher. A good teacher says, well, 2 + 2, let me show you how to get the answer. And they'll teach you, they'll break it down step by step. When the disciples asked Jesus, hey, teach us how to pray, he wasn't just telling them, hey, pray this prayer. He's a teacher, remember that. He was a rabbi. He said, I'm showing you how to pray step by step. These are the things you focus on when you pray. So it's not just one big prayer, it's actually steps, keys. So if you pray along these lines, you will see the kingdom of God. And one of the priorities, the main things he said to pray, was to see things to be in earth as it is in heaven. Pray that. Pray that heaven will come to earth. Pray that heaven will come into your circumstances. Amen. Pray to see the kingdom of God and his will, God's will. God has a will. And if you allow his will to be done, you'll see the kingdom come. Come on. If you pray for heaven to come, it'll come. But it won't come if you don't ask for it, if you don't pray for it. So that's why we pray, because we want to see heaven come. Period. Then your needs will be met. You'll be forgiven of your sins, right? People's lives will be changed. And so, this picture that we see on the screen, I wanted to find a way to make revival even more practical to us. And we've seen revivals historically throughout history. And one of the things we're going to do again as a church is that we're going to look at some of those revivals that have hit the earth and what it created, what it has produced in the earth, right? Back in the 60s, I don't know if you guys were around to see that. Some of you guys were, some of you guys weren't. But in the 60s, there was a revival or a movement called the Jesus Revolution. Anybody heard of it? Wow, no one heard of it. One person. It actually was in Time Magazine. This is the actual cover of Time Magazine back in the 60s. You notice the psychedelic colors? All right, this is during the hippie movement. But back in the 60s, a lot was going on. We know that it was a time of great revolution overall, socially, politically. We had, what were some of the revolutions happening? We had, definitely civil rights movements, right? That was one. Women's liberation movements was going on. The Black Power movement, definitely. Everybody put their fists in the air. Revolutions. I'll read it. I took some notes, all right? The decade of the 60s. We had civil rights movement, the Vietnam conflict, the war that was happening. Student rights movement was happening in the 60s. Ecology movement. People were talking about preservation of animals' rights and all these different things and pollution. The greatest revolutions that we still are reeling from today happened in the 60s. And it's amazing the irony of how the times are similar and the temperature of our culture is similar to what was happening in the 60s. See, guys like Bernie Sanders, he was a major voice right now running for politics. He was a big civil rights activist in the 60s. 50 years later, there are a lot of things that are happening right now that mirror what was going on during this time called the Jesus Revolution. I'll read some more. The 60s marked a time of great change and great upheaval socially. Churches even suffered from this. In the early 60s, churches were trying to reach out to the culture, but they were irrelevant to the times. By the late 60s, many people started leaving the church. 31% of people, according to Gallup polls, said religion wasn't important anymore. 18% of those people said church was not meeting their needs anymore. All right, people saw a need for change in American society. Even Billy Graham, who was a leading evangelist at that time, he was losing interest in the lives of the young people. I'll also share this. In addition, polls show that the majority of churches at that time were unwilling to change in liturgy, in doctrine, or to be involved in social issues. In fact, the church as a whole had placed its focus on meeting the needs of newly formed suburb neighborhoods in the 50s. And they left the inner city, the urban areas, practically untouched by the church and masses of people with few choices. The subculture of hippies and others in the free love generation lost connection with Christianity and traditional religion. All right? So these are things that were happening. Now let me fast forward and show you something else. Revival was needed. It seemed that there was no foundation for revival in these times because the church lost interest in the taste of people's appetites. They no longer cared about church. Doesn't that sound similar today? According to Theodore Rosak in his book, The Making of a Counterculture, the young people of the 60s and 70s had started looking for political and social change. But what they were really looking for more than that was something beyond reason and intellect. Or what they were looking for was the transformation of self, others, and their environment. And they sought it through feelings, through passion, and visionary experiences. I'll read one more thing. At first, the primary means for obtaining this transformation was drugs and hallucinogens. Again, that's where the hippie thing started. Everyone began to take all types of weed and pills and acid and all these different things. A lot of people went to drugs and they forced themselves to try to get high on things to escape the issues that were going on. They were looking for escape, and they were looking for transformation, for salvation. And some found that they were looking for it. They went into Eastern mysticism, Indian folklore. That's why groups like the Beatles, you guys know the Beatles were out then. They were big in Buddhism. They were big on different Eastern religions because that was just a thing. People were getting into all types of stuff, looking for answers. And they weren't looking for it in the church. But, anybody say but? Something happened. In the 60s in California, the Bay Area, a group decided to go into the center of where the hippies were, right near Woodstock. You guys heard of Woodstock? A group decided to go there and say, we want to reach these radical hippies who are getting high every day. We want to find a way to reach them. The church isn't doing it. And so they started a mission group, and it just began to minister to people on the streets. And a revival began to take place, starting in the West Coast, that spread throughout the country in 10 years. And this is actually how Christians, worship leaders, this is actually how CCM started. Because a lot of people who were like, getting high, playing the guitar, and singing those Smelly Cat songs. They began to sing songs for Jesus after they got saved. And it was very radical because the church was saying, you can't play the guitar and sing these songs like that. And so people were outside singing songs about Jesus, writing songs about God, and it was an entire movement that was being birthed. And some of the most dramatic experiences that I've heard personally from people about how they came to Jesus were people who got saved during this time. I've met people who told me that it was otherworldly. They said that literally people would be high walking down certain blocks, and when people were worshiping, the Spirit of God would hit them, and they would just fall on their face and start worshiping God. People were having visions and dreams all over the place. This reason why you don't hear about this in churches, because it didn't happen in the church. It happened in the streets. The Baptists couldn't take ownership of it. Methodists couldn't take ownership of it. Pentecostals couldn't even take ownership of it. No religious organization could take ownership of that movement. So no one talks about it. But it was simply political. It was social. It happened outside the church. I mean, I can share, I can share stories. I mean, supernatural things, miracles will happen. And these are the five things that they were emphasizing during this movement. The five things that people were emphasizing was, one, that people should have a personal experience with Jesus. Same thing we hear today. That believe, they were stressing that people should have their own personal encounter with Jesus. There was a group called the Jesus Freaks that said that they offered an encounter to people so that they can be born again. Number two, it was a movement that was characterized as having a Bible focus. So these Christians began to realize that the Bible should be the source for all the answers in life. And they began to start coffee houses where they came together to have coffee and read the Bible. This is all happening in the 60s. In fact, Life magazine said these Christians irrefutably believed that the Bible was true. They had no doubt that the Bible should be the source of their life. Number three, the Jesus people were concerned with maintaining purity and faithfulness. Number four, it also placed a large emphasis on the second coming of Christ. This is actually the time where a lot of the Great Tribulation and the Rapture and all these teachings actually spread a lot. It was spread a lot through the Jesus people. All right, Hal Lindsey wrote his first book on the end times around that time, and it spread because these people were spreading this message that Christ is coming back. He can come any day, and you need to be saved. Another thing they also emphasized, these street Christians, which is what Life magazine said, held the stance that miracles still happen. So when people weren't believing in the supernatural, they were believing that miracles can and still happen. Amen? How many people remember, Frank Dupree that came here a few months ago and he preached. You guys remember that? And he talked, this is the time he got saved. And remember, he said nobody preached to him when he got saved. He was driving and the Spirit of God came to him and told him, you need to get saved. I'm Jesus, you need to repent. This was happening all around the country. Bill Johnson got saved around this time. There's so many people, man, who started great movements, like Vineyard, Maranatha, Integrity, Christian. All these CCM companies started as a result of the Jesus movement. Okay? Finally, and number six, the final foundation that the Jesus movement focused on was they focused on the Holy Spirit. The believers of the movement insisted that the Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer in order to guide and to direct their every step. He, the Holy Spirit, is also seen as the source for what they termed power evangelism. And so they believe that, you know, we're not supposed to just hear about God. We're not supposed to just talk about a relationship with God. That God is actually supposed to live on the inside of us. And because he lives inside of us and he wants to direct every step of the way, they sought to live their entire lives walking after the Spirit. Taking time to sing, make melody, write songs, until the point where they felt the Spirit, and by feeling the Spirit, living up by the Spirit. And that's why this movement became a revival in America. Some of our greatest movements, if not for anything, the sound that came out of this movement was the CCM, Christian Contemporary Music sound. I believe that God wants to start another Jesus revolution. Another one that was even greater. See, I believe the downfall, if there was one, of this movement was that although it became something that happened, I mean, it was something that started outside, I believe that they didn't learn how to take revival into places of influence in society. They were very adamant about just coming together, coming in our coffee houses, coming from house to house, worshiping, bringing people to Jesus, but no one taught them that, hey, you need to actually go into areas of life where people do business, where people are in education, and have an influence there. And that's, I believe, where the difference is going to be for our generation compared to them, because we're training people to be light and darkness, amen? We're training people to go into the world and have impact, to be involved in technology, and to be involved in education, and be involved in business, and learning how to influence and culture in a greater way than just in church. Amen? So that's where we're coming from. That's where we're stepping into. I believe there's going to be a new sound that's going to come from this next Jesus revolution. All right? So CCM had its time, but I believe there's a new sound that's coming. Because with every movement, there's a sound. Amen? Every time the Spirit of God moves on earth, there's a new sound. Come on. And hungry for God, I want us to tune in. Because there's another sound, another wave of God's Spirit and God's power is getting ready to hit America. The same foundation of revival, which was the deep need, the deep craving to see change on the outside, is the same temperature that's happening on the outside. People are looking for change. They're needing change. They want it. But they're looking for where it's going to come, amen? It's going to come from the church, amen? So let's all stand, and I want us to get ready to receive the spirit of revival. Come on, we're going to be participators in this movement, amen? Come on, let's tap somebody next to you and say, you're an agent of change. God wants to use you. One of the things that a popular artist at the time said was this. When they told him, why are you writing these songs with these guitars and all this stuff? That's for the world. The artist at the time said, why should the devil have all the good music? Why should the devil have all the good stuff? Come on. I'm tired of Christians giving the devil Hollywood and giving the devil entertainment and technology. Come on. Why should the devil take all the good stuff? Amen? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We should be giving the devil nothing. Come on. We give him money. So we say that Illuminati got all the money. Well, it's time for the righteous to take it by force. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just and for the righteous. Hallelujah. We need some businessmen and women to rise up and begin to claim and start taking back things from this world. Hallelujah. Say, I want revival. I want revival to start with me. Amen. Come on. So, Father, lift up your hands. Holy Spirit, today as we gave definition to what revival is and what it looks like, we're praying and believing, God, that the same way you launched this movement back in the 60s, you want to do another one today. God, you want to launch us into the deep, God, and we want to bring change. God, we look at our presidential election, and those who are presidents or running for presidents right now, and we know we need change. We know we need it, God. The change is going to come not from the top. It's going to come from heaven. It's going to come from you. And so, Lord God, as we lift up our hands, we make ourselves available for you to use us, to fill us, to send us, to inspire us and enable us to do what we couldn't even do in our own strength. Father, we are broken in spirit. We're poor in spirit. We know that we can do nothing without you. And because we want your will to be done, let it come. Let your kingdom come. We pray what Jesus told us to pray. We pray what he asked us to pray. We pray and we believe that we'll see the same results that Jesus saw and even greater works than these. And so we thank you in advance for what you're about to do in this place and in our city this summer. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's make a joyful noise. Come on. I want you to say revival. Come now.
Come now.
Revival.
Revival.
Come to my city.
Revival.
Start with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.